Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." We have found the Messiah. Can you imagine? This morning we observe St. Andrew's Day, and we also commemorate some milestone anniversaries of ordinations and commissionings for several of our called faculty and staff. And so the stoles and the paraments are read for St. Andrew's Day. But I want to start out by mentioning how soft and velvety the blue paraments are in our chapel. These red things are kind of silky and smooth, but these are so soft and velvety. And our green and our white paraments and stoles here in the chapel, in comparison, they're kind of coarse. I mean, they're not like burlap or anything, but they're kind of like burlap compared to how soft and velvety the blue stoles and paraments are. So I was sitting in chapel on Monday, and I was noticing these blue paraments. I was remembering how soft and velvety they are, and I was seeing these Christmas trees here in the chapel, and it was taking me back to a Christmas some years ago when I received a particular Christmas, memorable Christmas gift, a velvet shirt. It was actually probably some kind of velour or something, but as a fourth or a fifth grader, I called it velvet. It had a few different colored sections on it, and I can't remember whether my mom gave it to me or my grandma, but it was really soft. And it was also, at least in the mind of a fourth or fifth grade boy, it was also really not the kind of shirt that you would ever want to wear in public, and particularly to school. But it was a present, at least. It was an expression of love and care, and I appreciated it, but it wasn't, you know, one of the center stage presents. It wasn't the really awesome Los Angeles Rams three-quarter sleeve t-shirt with T. Egger lettered on the back of it that I did wear to school way too often as I look back on it. It wasn't cool like the plastic blocks with the little handle on it that were made for packing snow into so that you could make like snow bricks for a snow fort. That also got a lot of use. It definitely was not the remote control race car that I got for Christmas that year, which was fantastic. Spent a lot of time with that. It was just this underappreciated velvet shirt lying there among the other presents, among the wrapping paper and the bows. It was just one of the presents. It was, here's the connection, it was the St. Andrew of Christmas presents. 4 years ago, on November 30th, I had a CTCR meeting at the Missouri Synod International Center here in St. Louis. And since I was going to be there for that meeting, they asked me to preach in their chapel for that morning service. And the reading that day was this gospel reading from John 1 about St. Andrew. And the instruction I received was to keep it to 5 minutes. And I thought, man, a five-minute sermon. But if you are ever assigned a really short sermon to preach, the commemoration of St. Andrew is actually a pretty good occasion for that, because Andrew is barely mentioned in the New Testament. He is not the remote control race car. He is just the velvet shirt of the disciples. When he is mentioned just in a listing of the other disciples, or he's in a group with a few other disciples, or he's mentioned tagging along with his brother, St. Peter, the most well-known of the disciples. Matthew's gospel does not pay a lot of attention to Andrew, other than that Jesus called him to be a disciple along with Simon Peter. Same with Mark's gospel. And when Luke tells the story of Peter's call, He does not even mention the fact that Andrew was also called at the same time. He spends so much time focusing on Jesus and Peter. Luke does list Andrew in the listing of disciples in the next chapter, however, and he calls him Andrew, Peter's brother. In the Gospel of John, we finally have a little bit of screen time for St. Andrew. But here he is always pictured as a humble go-between. When Jesus says he wants to feed 5,000 people, it's Andrew who alerts him to the fact that there's a boy here with some bread and fish. In John 12, when Jesus has entered into Jerusalem for his final Passover, some Greeks come to Philip and ask to see Jesus. And what does Philip do? He goes to Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip go and tell Jesus. And that's it. That's all that the New Testament tells us about Andrew, except for our reading from today, from John chapter 1. And here we learn that humble Andrew was first a disciple of John the Baptist. He was John's disciple until the eternal Word of God, incarnate in human flesh, came to the Jordan River that day. Andrew followed the Baptist until the light of men, the light of life, who no darkness can overcome, came to the Jordan River that day. Andrew followed John until the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth, came to the Jordan River, until John the Baptist himself pointed his bony finger and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." And until the Baptist declared, "I have seen and bear witness that this man is the chosen one, the Son of God." That's where our text picks up. The next day, John was again standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by, and he said, as he had the day before, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And one of these two disciples was Andrew. And so with the other disciple, Andrew went to Jesus. Jesus invited him to come and stay. He followed Jesus. And Andrew, always the go-between, went first to his brother Simon. "We have found the Messiah," he told him. And the rest is history. Throughout the villages of Galilee and Samaria and Judea, he would follow this man and witness his love, his words of life, his cleansing of lepers, his power over demons, his raising the dead, his forgiving sins, his feeding 5,000 mouths with a few loaves and fish. Andrew would eat with Jesus one last supper, and then he would watch him crucified and dying as the Lamb of God took away the sins of the world. He would see Jesus alive again, see him ascend into heaven. And church tradition places the later ministry of Andrew in various places in Central Europe and around the Black Sea, where even as an apostle, he would continue his humble work of being a go-between and saying to others, "Come, we have found the Messiah." There is nothing flashy about St. Andrew, outshone by his brother, never speaking an original word on the pages of the New Testament, just repeating things that other people have said to others. Oh, but the events that he was caught up in. Oh, but the Savior he met that day. Andrew's testimony of this Savior and the testimony of the other 12 has gone throughout the world. It still rings in our ears and in our hearts. They all join us here this morning with angels and archangels, here in the holy presence of the Lamb. Here our Lord Jesus meets with us in his mercy, in peace, in hope, in joy, in his holy word, and in his holy supper. in this holy time and in this holy place, may we hear the clear ringing voice of these brothers, these fathers in the faith. Behold the Lamb of God. Come, we have found the Messiah. Humble Andrew, the velvet shirt of the apostles, just one on the list, but so dear to Jesus, redeemed by him, used by him, a small follower of a great Lord. Each spring here in this chapel, on the morning of commencement day, we have a service, the service for the conferring of theological diplomas. And during that service, for several years at least, there's always this responsive prayer that has become familiar and dear to me. As a part of that service, this responsive prayer includes these words: to find joy in being small followers of a great Lord, to find excitement in your working among people through your word and sacraments, to find purpose in serving you and your people in the church, to find peace in the five wounds and the open tomb. We ask for your grace, Heavenly Father. I love that prayer. I love praying it year after year with my faculty colleagues and with our students and with the whole seminary family. It could be Andrew's prayer, and it is certainly ours, to find joy in being small followers of a great Lord, to find purpose in serving God and his people in the church. This morning, it is our joy here in this service to give thanks to God, our great Lord, and to honor a number of his small servants. That's not to say that these honored colleagues are no names or low profile in our midst, a la St. Andrew. Nobody would ever call Bob Kolb, for example, the velvet shirt of the Concordia Seminary faculty. If we were to list their accomplishments and accolades for these honored ones among us, it would be an impressive list. But what indelibly marks your many years of service, what eternally marks your many years of service, is not personal greatness, but the great name which you bear and in which you serve. The name of Jesus, our great Lord, the Lamb of God, the Messiah. In so many ways, great and small, they have been serving their Lord and his purposes. And the fruit which they have borne and continue to bear, like the fruit which you have borne and continue to bear, is fruit that will last forever. Thanks be to God, like Andrew, small servants of a great Lord. To this Lord Jesus Christ be glory in this Advent season and always. Come then, brothers and sisters, and see where he is staying. Come, we have found the Messiah. Amen.